إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we come to the next usul of da'wah the next tip for da'wat. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made da'wat al-Islam fard on every individual, every Muslim. It is our job to convey this beautiful religion to those to others, and to remind ourselves about it and to follow it. So it's not just a matter of conveying, it's a matter before conveying of following it yourself. And for that, there is no such thing as a da'i who has no knowledge. It's important, therefore, to study. It's important to upgrade your knowledge. It is not necessary for every da'i to become an expert in one or more sciences of Islam. But it is extremely important for a da'i to be very clear and understand clearly the basic principles of Islam. Ignorance cannot guide anybody. Guidance comes from knowledge, not from ignorance. So therefore, it's very important for us to be knowledgeable about and be clear about the basic principles of Islam. So therefore, one must be clear about aqidah. One must be clear about all the fara'id, whatever is fard, whatever is obligatory, whatever is compulsory, which are the five pillars of Islam. And one should be knowledgeable about haram and halal as it applies to one in one's life situation. So three essential things. Aqidah, what do you believe? We believe ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. We believe that we bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and that he has no partners, he has no associates, he has no one who shares anything with him. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the abd and the rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the slave and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. To call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Abdullah is the highest honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself gave to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is no lack of adab in saying abduhu wa rasuluhu. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa told us to address him, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed him. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Subhanalladhi asara bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al harami ila al masjid al aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu li nuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa al sami al basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al Isra, in the first ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah is the one who took his slave, abdi. Nabi Sallallahu was called Abdihi, his slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called, and this is the greatest honor. So therefore, Aqidah, in terms of the uluhiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the maintainer, he is the creator, to whom we say Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. So basic principle of Aqidah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah wa Rasul. So this is the basic principle of that we are focused on. After the Aqidah, the most important thing that we need to know, and again, what I have mentioned here is not the sum total of the Aqidah. Please understand that. The Aqidah consists of more than this, and we need to know all of this, those things as which is the belief in the Malaika and the Kitabs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Anbiya, the beliefs in the Day of Judgment, the belief in the Qadr. Now, obviously, there's no time here in the Fajr reminder to go into the details of all of that. We already have. There are many, many good lectures, alhamdulillah, on the internet, plus many people teach the correct Aqidah. Alhamdulillah, go and listen to all of those. If you are interested in my lectures on the Aqidah, they are also there on the internet. Most welcome, please take a look at them. We have a full version, and then we have a version for the lazy types, which is a shorter version. So most welcome to see the version that suits your type. So the issue of Aqidah, very important. Second thing is, the halal and haram. What is halal and what is haram? The best rule to follow in halal and haram is the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, Al-halalu bayyin wa haramu bayyin wa baynahuma mushtabihat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the halal is clear and the haram is clear, and between the two are the doubtful things. And taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. So halal and haram, to the extent where it applies to you in your life. So for example, halal and haram that refers to things like food and so on applies to everyone at every aspect of life. So therefore we must be very clear about what is halal. Eat only halal, do not eat haram, and do not eat that which is doubtful. So if you are not sure about something, is it halal or haram, then don't eat it until you find out whether it is actually halal. The most common mistake we make is with regard to zabiha. People eat meat of doubtful origins, and this is very, very bad, extremely sad. It destroys your ibadah, destroys the power of your dua. Second part of halal and haram, as far as other things are concerned, is again several aspects which refer to anyone in any situation, which must be known, but specific halal and haram that are related to specific things in life. For example, interest-based transactions are haram. Now, this fact may not apply to everybody, because we may not be in a situation where we are either taking a loan or giving a loan or doing things like that, or in a business. You might be a student or something, so this doesn't concern you. But whenever we come to a situation in life with relation to which there is some halal and haram, it is important for us to find out what is halal and do what is halal only and leave the haram. For example, what is halal and haram with respect to marriage? One must know this before one gets married, not fall into a marriage and then start discovering that the things that you are doing are not permitted. So halal and haram with respect to that. So knowledge with regard to halal and haram, depending on what situation that you are in your life. This is fard. This is compulsory, obligatory for every Muslim to know, and it's your job to find out. So we covered aqidah, we covered halal haram. Third one is the faraid. Whatever is fard, whatever is obligatory, it is the job of the person to find out what's obligatory and fulfill it. The first of those is salah. So it's obligatory on every Muslim, and therefore it is the job of every Muslim to find out how he or she must pray, learn to pray, and then learn to improve the quality of the salah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned khushu, he mentioned concentration in salah as the condition of salah. So therefore very important for us to keep that in mind and ensure that we pray in the way that has been prescribed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that, he showed us that, he said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you have seen me pray. So this knowledge is critical and essential for every Muslim to know. In addition to these things, the more you know, the better it is. As I said before, it is not necessary for everyone to be a mufti. It is not necessary for everyone to be a hafiz. But definitely, it is important to know some Quran. The more you know, the better. It is important to know other aspects of religion. What is very important in terms of dawah is, after knowing all of this, is to maintain an attitude of humbleness and humility. If knowledge brings with it arrogance for you, then this knowledge is taking you toward the hellfire. Please be very clear about that. Knowledge that brings arrogance is knowledge which is harmful. Knowledge must bring humility and humbleness in the person. So the more you know, the more you are aware of how little you know. Because the sum total of knowledge is so vast that nobody can ever know all that there is to know. So the more knowledge you have, the more aware you become of how little you know. So very important for us to keep that in mind and make sure that we don't fall into the trap of arrogance. This much of knowledge is sufficient for you to give dawah to people. So it is not necessary to become perfect in the, in religion or perfect in knowledge before we invite people to Islam. But definitely we must know something, and this something which I mentioned is the basic minimum, which is important for every Muslim man or woman to know. Now, you might find a situation when you are speaking to people that they ask you questions which you don't have answers for. Now, the thing to do there is to take the person to somebody who knows. If you don't know, go to a person who knows. It's not necessary for you to answer every question, but it is necessary for you to take the person to an alim, to know, to somebody to who knows, and then that person can, inshallah, answer the question that you were asked. So very important to upgrade your knowledge. Learn to experience the joy of learning. Final point before we close is the advice of Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayhi, where he said, do not acquire knowledge for three reasons. He said, do not learn and do not acquire knowledge to impress the ignorant people. That's not a reason for learning. Don't acquire knowledge to impress the ignorant or to argue with the scholars, the fuqaha, or to become popular with people or to draw the attention of people towards yourself. So he said, do not acquire knowledge for these three reasons. One is to impress ignorant people. Or second one is to argue with scholars. Or third one is to become popular. Very important also to differentiate between knowledge and information. What you get when you study something, when you study a book or you listen to a lecture, you are not getting knowledge. So please understand this. People go around calling themselves students of knowledge. This is something which I find a strange phrase, because you can be a student of knowledge, but you are actually, what you are acquiring is information. Now, that information, only when it is practiced, it creates experience. That experience must then be tested against a standard, and that standard is the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is the reason why you need a mentor, or you need a muslih, somebody to correct you, to validate your experience. And after that information which you acquired actually becomes knowledge. So one should be, instead of being a student of knowledge, one should try to be a student of practice, a student of amal, because it's only when you practice that you get the benefit of the knowledge. Otherwise, it's a bunch of information. And this is what we see a lot today, where people have a lot of information, but they are like walking libraries. You know, they have a book and book and book in their heads, but you do not see the effect of that knowledge in their behavior. Who today does not know, which Muslim today does not know that interest is haram? Everybody knows. I don't think there is any Muslim who does not know that interest is haram. I do not think there is any Muslim who does not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war in his name and in the name of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam against a Muslim who has, against people who deal in interest. Every Muslim knows this, but then why do Muslims deal in interest? Because that information has not been converted into knowledge. They don't have the experience of that information. Which Muslim does not know today that alcohol, drinking it or selling it or buying it or transporting or whatever, is haram? Everybody knows that. Even the non-Muslims know this, that Muslims, for Muslims, alcohol is haram. But we find Muslims are dealing in alcohol. So it shows that information alone does not help. If information is not practiced and if it is not converted into knowledge, the information is actually a liability against you, because it will be witnessed against you on the day of judgment that you knew but you did not do. Now, I don't wish that on anybody. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that fate where we know but we do not do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to acquire knowledge that is beneficial for us, and to enable us to practice it, and not to hold us responsible, and not to hold us accountable, and not to punish us for whatever we do not end up doing. We ask Allah for His forgiveness and for His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.